Hello, everyone. It is 12 o'clock straight up noon here in Denver, Colorado. This is Burt Middleton, the gout killer. And I am very happy to be with you today. We've got some pretty interesting stuff to go over here. So I just want to kind of get started with it. I'm going to have a really great resident expert about what we're going to talk about today. And today we're going to be talking about electromagnetic fields. And I, in particular, wanted to talk about how electromagnetic fields may or may not have anything to do with gout. But I have a sneaking suspicion that they might be, that they might have something very, very in particular to do with gout. But you know, I've been out there searching around on the interweb about this many times in the past, and again, just to get ready for this call. And, you know, if you look around and you just type in something like the dangers of electromagnetic fields, then you'll come up with a lot of information. And just a few of the things that seem to be rising to the top out there is that EMFs may be particularly they may do different things to our nervous systems and create fatigue and stress and different kinds of sleep disturbances, different kinds of skin symptoms like facial prickling and burning sensation and rashes and things like that, different body symptoms like pains and aches in your muscles, eye symptoms such as burning sensation, foggy thinking and depression, stuff that happens with the ear, the nose, and the throat, and those kind of digestive orders, infertility, which would be a big thing, and, you know, getting even bigger is leukemia in children, breast cancer, or cancer clusters that have been linked to high exposures of EMFs. And so just to, you know, again, put out some more education about what this might be doing and how it might be related to what's going on with gout, or maybe years of exposure end up creating some problems that result in gout. You know, where do electromagnetic fields come from? I mean, we have them all around us, all over the place, in our homes with, you know, the very cell phone that I'm, like, on right now, but also all of our electrical appliances, all of our TVs, all of everything that has a monitor on it, electric blankets, electric razors, you know, fluorescent lighting and halogen lighting, high voltage power lines. When, you know, people that are living under high voltage power lines, there have been incidences of cancer that seem to be connected to all of that. And even flying in airplanes has a whole different kind of a risk pattern to it. But one of the things that I found in looking around about all of this is that there's a thing out there by kind of a famous guy named Dr. Pollack, who it talks about electromagnetic fields and the heart. And where he kind of goes with that is that electromagnetic fields can change the way that the blood flows in our bodies. And he also makes mention of how that can also change the way the lymphatic flow happens in our bodies. So the fact that he's even looking at the idea that there is some sort of correlation between what's going on with our heart health, our cardiovascular health, and what's going on with electromagnetic radiation and electromagnetic frequencies, that starts to get me going in the direction of what is happening, what may be happening with electromagnetic fields and gout. Because gout is a very sensitive kind of condition that has a lot to do with the way the kidneys work. And the kidneys are highly vascularized, and later this afternoon I'm going to be doing a Google Hangout where we talk about gout, diabetes, and high fructose corn syrup, and what is going on in our blood and the way that affects our cardiovascular system. Well, that affects our kidneys as well. So I just wanted to throw it out there to, you know, kind of raise some awareness about it and kind of start the conversation about it. And so I know there are several people on the call now. And if anyone has any feedback, questions, comments, would like to jump in and talk a little bit about what they think and what their experience is with electromagnetic frequencies and possibly how it might have to do with gout, I'd like to open that up in just a minute. But right now, I want to introduce Kenneth Lesser. And Kenneth Lesser, his business is advancedliving.com, and he is our resident expert today on electromagnetic radiation and electromagnetic fields. Kenneth, how are you doing today?
Oh, hello, Bert. Feeling great and so glad to be here with you and your listeners.
Very good. Well, thank you. Well, before we jump in, I just want to give everybody a chance. Is there anyone out there right now that has any particular question specifically, or has anything to add to the conversation about EMFs and EMRs? If there is anybody out there that has anything to say about it, they're being shy, Kenneth. So, you know, for the sake of education and kind of helping people understand more about this whole electromagnetic radiation and electromagnetic fields, can you tell us a little bit more about what you do and what you know about it all?
Yes, I'd be happy to, Bert. One of the things that I bring to the table is a depth of personal experience that goes back to 1984. And that was when I moved into a lovely house in a residential neighborhood, a nice upscale neighborhood here in the Denver, Colorado area, and next to an elementary school. And interestingly, the school and the house that I moved into with a couple of friends happened to be along what's called a power line corridor, with the big high-tension power lines going over the school, over the little park, over the house that I lived in, and just all over. And none of us had any idea that this could have an effect on our health. We were amused because you could stand under them and roll up your sleeve and your hair would stand on end, and you could hear the air crackle from it. But myself, none of the parents with all these beautiful children heading off to school under power lines had any clue that this was actually a serious health problem. And being naive about it, I just went about my life. And within a couple of months of moving into that lovely house with a couple of friends that we really got along wonderfully, I began to have problems with my sleep. And that just why? I don't know. I normally sleep beautifully. But after a couple of months of exposure to that, there were sleep problems. And then as that continued, it got worse into problems with mood swings, mental, emotional stuff, some depression, and also digestion. My digestion I was having problems with, which would be one of the things to me that starts to tie into gout, because if we're eating good healthy foods but not digesting them properly, that's going to be a problem. So what was interesting, some of the doctors, and this took me literally 7 years, I lived under power lines for 7 years, treatment after treatment, and nothing helped, and it kept getting worse. And finally, a doctor knew about electropollution as a serious health risk and had found this comfort technology, a small plug-in device that mitigates the stress from the electropollution, and that literally saved my life. And my sensitivity is way above average. And so not everyone that's under power lines gets ill or has the problems, and some do. And our situation is much worse today than it was years ago, because not only is the use of electricity increasing for all kinds of electronic equipment, but now there's the cell phone use, which is rampant, the Wi-Fi use. Some people can sit in a house and they can pick up Wi-Fi signals from 5-10 different neighbors nearby, and that's literally being in the broadcast radius of these radio frequencies that are also stressful to us. So it's been a very big challenge, and one of the key factors that I think relates to your topic as a nutritional therapy consultant is what Dr. Levy and some other doctors that I've worked with in the last 20 years that I've worked with this technology, they said that the electropollution, one of the negative effects it can have is decreasing cell membrane permeability. So the ability of a cell, the cell wall, to take in nutrients, to process things inside the cell, and then to release the cellular byproducts back out into the body, into the bloodstream, into the lymphatic fluids for the body to release, that is reduced by electromagnetic exposure, which would help to understand why people can be having problems. They can be eating good, but if they have a lot of exposure or are sensitive to it, my gosh, that will sabotage the benefits of good nutrition. And most people aren't getting the good nutrition, which is where you can help, of course. And so a condition like gout that has a lot to do with our dietary things can be worsened by electromagnetic exposure. I hope that gives a little bit of an overview.
That is over and above. That is absolutely hits the nail on the head. I mean, you brought up several things that I can really kind of go deep with if we had the time here. I mean, the first thing you talked about was sleep. You know, that's something that in my whole gout world, one of the things that I really try to get people to think a lot about is making sure that they're getting good sound sleep, because there's a very specific reason, and that is our liver, being the incredibly active organ that it is, doing so many different jobs. One of its main jobs is to do detoxification, and it doesn't do that until 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. That's kind of like liver time. Mm-hmm. And that's finally when we're in a perfectly parasympathetic state, and the liver can finally do that work. And if that doesn't happen, then our livers become congested and all kinds of, it just cascades into all kinds of different problems that are pretty obvious. But, you know, talking in terms of at the cellular level and how, you know, I talk all the time about the importance of how well the fuels and nutrients get into the cell, get used and burned, and then the cellular wastes have to get back out and get into the lymph system to get carried off and eliminated. You know, at a cellular level, if we're not operating at a cellular level, it just that's where it all begins. So, man, this is perfect. I actually, when I asked you to do this, I had no idea how perfect this was. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. If there's any questions out there right now, if anybody's got more to add to this or questions for Kenneth, that would be, if you want to jump in right now, please do. Otherwise, I think you have more for us, Kenneth?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Are there any questions at this moment?
Yeah. Does anybody have any questions?
Or comments? Of your experiences. Some people notice, for instance, when they're around a computer. We've had people that I've worked with in the last 20-some years that I've been involved in this, and some folks would say they're at their desk, and they prioritize the tasks for the day because they notice that by mid-afternoon, they're not thinking as clearly. Now, they didn't say to themselves, Part of my reason for not thinking clearly is my electromagnetic exposure. But they just knew from day in and day out that, boy, they better get the tough stuff done in the morning when they have more clarity and energy, because afternoon time rolls around, and by the end of the day, they better be doing easy stuff because they're not going to be able to think as clearly or stay focused. So today we see people not necessarily saying that they have ADD or ADHD, attention deficit disorder. Most people are kind of saying, well, geez, I wish there were a few more hours in the day. It's so hard to stay on task or get organized. And when you think about it, many of us, if you've ever been out in a vehicle with your AM radio station on and you drive under power lines, you notice that that signal is just terribly messed up. You can't even hear it anymore. You just get a bunch of static. And if you think to yourself, okay, that electromagnetic field messed up this radio signal on my AM radio, my gosh, my brain, which is sending billions of electronic signals to function for my body, my thoughts, just all this going on, oh my gosh, what's it doing to that? And that's where we begin to realize why in our high-tech electric world, people are having more trouble focusing, thinking clearly. And if we're not thinking clearly and focusing well, when we try to address tasks or come up against situations where we need to call on our resources, it's like trying to row with not all your oars in the water, which then sometimes leads to people getting frustrated and irritable and mood swings. I mean, just on and on and on. So these are some of the factors that I've run into with people over the last 20-some years of working with this equipment, and feedback I've gotten from a bunch of doctors that have also used this equipment and dealt with people having problems with the electropollution.
Nice. that was such a great example to give. I mean, with the AM radio, you know, we're driving along, and okay, we drive under the power lines, and we've all experienced that kind of static. And here, our brains work in this very electrochemical way. It's like, okay, and so do we actually really think that all of this stuff going on out there, just because we can't see it, taste it, feel it, or touch it, it isn't actually affecting us? I just don't think there's any way possible that it isn't having some sort of adverse effect in some different way or another, which kind of leads me, you know, as you were talking, it made me think of, you know, we live in this world where it's like, okay, we kind of always think that somebody else is looking out for us, you know, and usually we always think the government is looking out for us, and, you know, I don't want to go in any direction at all with politics or anything like that, but, you know, is there really anybody out there looking out for us? I mean, my answer is no, we got to look out for ourselves. And so, as you mentioned, there are doctors that are working with this, and do you know of studies? Can you tell us kind of like easy things to do searches on that would lead us to, you know, some people just absolutely have to have the hard data of like double-blind placebo studies of different things before they're going to believe anything. Is there anything that we can point people to that would give them that kind of scientific satisfaction?
That's still been a problem to get a hold of. Essentially, to fund those studies would take a lot of money to do. And back, for instance, there was a study done in Colorado, Wertheimer and Lieber, and this was in the 70s, and it was a epidemiology study or a statistical study of the cancer rates of people living on along a power line corridor.
Mm-hmm.
And the study did show that there was a statistical significant increase in the cancer rates of people that were closer to that power line corridor than those that were further away from it. And mm-hmm. what was interesting, Dr. David Savitz of the New York School, New York University, he got a $5 million grant by the power companies, because the power companies have basically kind of like the cigarette companies. Those folks should hang out together, because cigarettes were touted as wonderful for their health benefits for years and years, and then when it became apparent that that wasn't a health benefit, then it was denied in terms of having any health problems for the longest time, even when there was evidence. Well, the electric companies, they've known about this. There were literally people early on, back when electricity was first introduced, and people were using gas for lighting, and then they switched over to electricity and electrical lights, which in some ways, you know, is safer. But there were already people back then, just when it was first introduced, that noticed they don't sleep as well. They didn't feel as well with electric energy versus when the gas lights were there. Now, in the 1930s, some of your listeners may have had or heard of chiropractic. D.D. Palmer, who was the founder of chiropractic, his son, B.J. Palmer, in the 1930s, in a book called The Known Man, wrote that he had to actually build what's called a Faraday cage, or an electrically neutral space, because the electromagnetic fields back in the 1930s, which were next to nothing compared to today, were having a negative effect on people's nervous systems. So as we come into today, and let me loop back into Dr. Savitz, when he did his study, the electric power industry wanted to discredit the study of Lieber and Wertheimer done at the University of Colorado in the late 70s. And so they gave him this funding, and he did another epidemiological study of power line corridors in New York, and ended up finding the exact same data, that there was a significant increase in especially childhood leukemias, cancers along those power line corridors. And, of course, the power company just, well, that silly Dr. Savitz, what does he know? And, of course, he's a highly regarded researcher. So there are some of those kinds of things. If we wanted and had more funding, yes, they could be doing more studies. One of the factors that I'm hearing from some of the doctors, the electromagnetic fields produce a stress, a strain on the function of the body. And the body has a natural limbic or primal response. So when something is bothering us, it is treated as a threat. And our limbic system basically says we are under some form of attack. And the release of cortisol and other chemicals that happen when a person is in some form of attack, even though there's not a obvious attack from the electromagnetic fields, but at a cellular level, the body's going, something's not right here. And so that's one of the factors, that there's some preliminary stuff about higher exposure to electromagnetic fields for some people increases in their blood the cortisol levels or the stress chemicals. And those are hard on us, as you know, in your nutritional work. So I hope that'll be helpful.
Yes, absolutely. Jeez, man, you brought so much good information forward here. this is incredible. I talk about the whole acid-forming result of a high-stress lifestyle, and my little gears are turning 100 miles an hour with all the stuff that you're saying. And it just makes me think more, like I'm sitting right here in front of my two computer screens right now. It's like I'm wondering, oh my goodness, how much am I getting, how much electromagnetic radiation am I getting just by sitting here? And that goes back to thinking about how many of us work all day long in front of a computer, and you know, we let alone all the different Wi-Fis and the phones and the lights and the power lines and everything else. I mean, we're just sitting here staring at these computers, and now I'm going to have to pay more attention to, okay, am I, I could easily attribute being fresher and getting a lot more done in the mornings to all kinds of different things. But, you know, I'm so into hydration and water and the importance and how our body is mostly water and all that kind of thing. But and how being dehydrated in the afternoons can be a big source of how, that afternoon fatigue comes along. But maybe it's from sitting in front of the computer. Maybe that's where more of it's coming from. And, you know, the other thought that it made me think of, because I've kind of thought about this along the lines with water as well, but, I mean, something to certainly throw it out there for everybody that's listening in right now and, you know, will catch the replay of all of this, is like, if this is messing up, you know, if this is, I shouldn't say messing up, you know, I'm just going to say, if this is affecting our nervous system, you know, look at all the road rage. Look at all the relationship problems. Look at all the different things that go on in any given person's day-to-day world. And if these electromagnetic fields and frequencies and radiation are having some effect, even in minute ways, you know, what is that really doing to the quality of our life and the quality of our health? So,
absolutely.
This is a big deal.
Yes, it's more substantial than people realize, and there are certainly some books that people can look up. One of them, there's a book called Zapped, Zappeed, by Anne Louise Gittleman, who has done a lot of work on nutrition. There's a Dr. Susan Levy, who's a holistic consultant, and her work in her book, Your Body Can Talk, there's a whole chapter about electropollution and how that there were problems with a patient getting well using her normal treatment protocol. And when the comfort technology was added to her workstation, her treatments began to work so much better. And the person actually got well and was able to keep doing her work. So it's just so interesting that something that is so pervasive in our world, which is the wonderful use of high technology, we love it, it's great, and yet at the same time, it has a downside. Now, there is something that I'd like to share that... when we're talking about cell phones in particular, some of you may or may not have heard of a researcher called Dr. George Carlo. Carlo, what was so interesting, in the early 90s, a man whose wife was a real estate agent and was on the cell phone, just a lot. She ended up with a brain tumor and died from a brain tumor. And the brain tumor was exactly the shape of her cell phone antenna. And so the guy sued the cell phone company. And what ended up happening as a result, the cell phone industry got together, funded the research, and Dr. Carlo is a highly regarded researcher with just credentials all over the place. So they hired the best they could, gave him $25 million plus to research and to prove that cell phones were safe. Good old Dr. Carlo happens to be just a man of amazing integrity, because you can imagine the pressure that was on someone that was funded with $25 million and given the task to prove that cell phones are safe. He writes a book about his research called Cell Phones, The Invisible Hazards in the wireless age, in which he basically showed instance after instance where cell phones were a health risk. His research was duplicated in 11 different countries, and they came up with the same results. What ended up happening, cell phones industry no longer could get insurance. Lloyd's of London, nobody would touch them, so they are now all self-insured because no company is going to insure something that is a known health risk. But to this day, all that stuff is just poo-pooed and it's just brushed under the carpet because we live in a society in which the media is mostly bought and paid for by corporate interest. And if it wasn't, then we'd be seeing more stuff about this on a daily basis. So you can get Dr. Carlo's book. You can find some of this on some different sites. But what should be in the media every day to let us know, we've got to research this. We've got to stop putting this in the hands of children whose brains are more sensitive. This stuff isn't happening yet. So we have to turn to people like you to help get some information and get guided to ways to protect ourselves.
Wow. Well, you know, I feel like I'm actually doing more bring the message out there than I realized. You know, and I'm actually kind of running short on time. We're probably going to have to wrap this up. Can you tell us about Dr. What was his name?
Dr. George Carlo, C-A-R-L-O.
And his book's name was?
The book's name is Cell Phones, Invisible Hazards in the Wireless Age.
I see. And also, Kenneth, your company, AdvancedLiving.com, you provide some different kinds of devices for...
There is this item called the Comfort Technology that is a plug-in device that creates a shift in the electromagnetic energy so we can be around it and not get stressed by it. Then there's some other items that I do that I'll be putting up on the website, the personal pendants that you can wear or devices that you can add to your cell phone that will also boost that. So there's certainly many things to do, and I'm happy. Of course, there's a phone number on there for people to call in with questions because I want to consult with folks as much as possible to help guide them to getting their needs met.
Very good. And so we should send them to advancedliving.com.
Yeah, advancedliving.com. And
awesome.
If they need to call me, 303-284-8461 is a good number to reach me here in Colorado.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, very good. And I apologize that I need to kind of rush off the phone and kind of get on to my next appointment here. One last time, does anybody out there have any questions or comments or real quick before we jump off?
Well, this is David. All good stuff. All good stuff you got there.
My good friend David Freund?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
A lot of good information out there, a lot of good books. Environmental Health and Trust is a good website, ehtrust.org. And there's a lot of information out there. And again, with you and your computer, if you are grounded, you are shielded by all the EMFs and EMRs.
Uh-huh.
So again, back to grounding.
Yeah, back to what we talked about last week, the whole earthing and grounding. Yeah. Well, excellent.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you for the information.
So, well, thanks, Kenneth, for being on. Thanks, David. Thanks, everybody else, for being on. And I'm not sure what we're going to talk about next week. Haven't figured that out yet, but if you go to thegoutkiller.com and go to the tab that says Gout Killer TV, I will be putting something else up there for Not sure how that's going to work next week, actually being that it's Thanksgiving, but I will think of something. And also this afternoon, I have a Google Hangout that live streams from that same page on the GoutKiller.com, GoutKiller TV. We're going to be talking about gout and diabetes and high fructose corn syrup. And if anyone is listening from Colorado here tonight at the Colorado and Evans location of the Natural Grocers, I will be doing my gout nutritional seminar that I'm calling Don't Get Gout This Holiday Season. So I hope to see you there. So thank you all, and look forward to talking to you all again soon.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let me go inside over here. All right, cool. We have a lot of coaches here. Cool. So if you guys are a coach or you want to be a coach, guess what you should probably do? This little sales funnel right here, this little coaching funnel right now, makes me over 20. Okay. If you want to do a successful coaching program, you might want to look at the coaching.